Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. Oh, it is recap time on this Thursday. Some news for you. I will be podcasting every single day this weekend. You know, usually I take Saturdays off, but I'm going to be doing Friday, Saturday, Sunday because I have a lot to catch up on. So, something to keep in mind. I am not going to take any days off. And I'm going to try not to miss any days the rest of the month. Just so I can get all caught up in some deep dives and everything else, and I just, boom. So tonight recaps, and I have this paper cup that I have tonight, and the only thing I like less than biodegradable plastic cups are paper cups, because I always fear that the bottom is going to fall out. And of course it will fall out all over the laptop and microphone and all of that kind of stuff. I figure another couple of times of the recaps and I will be caught up. And I would really like that. I just realized also it's November 7th. And the only reason I know the exact date of the anniversary is because I looked it up for something the other day. So 2 days away from 13 years of doing this. And I went back and I looked at some stuff for something I'm doing and looked at that first post, and it is it was pretty boring, I have to say. And I'm not sure what I expected from that first post. I think it was just a trial balloon or something like that. And I don't think that anybody read the site the first day. And I'm not sure. I guess it may be the second or third day. But it is coming up. Anniversary day. And I'm really actually enjoying anniversary month this year, because I'm just trying to find ones that I haven't revealed that are relevant and interesting. And so far, at least the first 3 or 4 days that I've done it this month, I really, really like it. Plus, it gives me the opportunity to go back through the archives and find the ones for Black Friday. And I'm sure if you listen to the podcast, you probably read the site. So, but if you don't, or you haven't been around for a Black Friday, I consider it to be the best reveal day of the whole year. It is my favorite day by far. The January and July ones are great. But you're talking about sometimes 50 reveals, and it's a whole lot of work. And of course I pick days where there's either drinking or hangovers. And on Black Friday, it's just more of a food coma situation. And if you've never experienced it, go back and look at other Black Fridays. I generally keep it to about 20. I start a little bit later, start about 9. And then finish up about whatever that works out to, 3. But they are all ones from, so they'll all be from before July 1st, 2019. And they're just big ones that have never been revealed. And I always think, you know, eventually I'm going to run out. But I don't. I don't. And I found this one for reveal day in January, and I've got the tab open. I'm afraid it's going to close before I mark it as a favorite. And I was going to reveal it, actually, because it was something that was in the news this last week. And they said, no, it's really, 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 really good. So I'm going to hold off. And I will tell you this, it is from July, I believe. Anyway, and it's about a certain sibling of a one named permanent A-plus list singer. That's a good one. All right, so October 18th, number one. Oh, this is a good one to start off with. It's great that the Foreign-born former boy band are still alive and wants to connect with fans again. I really wish he would talk about the fact that his sibling was offered up to a man by her parents when she was just 16, and everyone seems to be okay with it. I'm talking about Zayn Malik. And I don't... You know, some people in the comments said, well, what does he need to talk about? You know, I just think people in general need to talk about it. Nobody's talking about it. She got married on her 17th birthday. Okay. And she is now pregnant, what, a month after the wedding? And she looks to be about 4 or 5 months pregnant, probably. And this guy was not, he's not 21 or something like that. And it's just, but nobody talks about it. It's just, out of sight, out of mind. And I don't get it. It was an arranged marriage. Was this just, hey, shotgun wedding kind of thing? But nobody seems to talk about it. And it's, I would like to ask him about it and say, you know, are you okay with this? What exactly happened? Did your parents arrange a marriage with somebody who was much older and your sister was 16? How did that all work? Let's see. Number two. On the 18th, and of course, the laptop's not going to. Well, this is popular. There was a lot that were popular that day. Without that family war protection surrounding him, this A-minus list rapper's having all kinds of stories revealed, like the one where he was in his early 20s and sleeping with a 15-year-old. I'm talking about Travis Scott. And I've talked about it on here before, about the publicity machine that just keeps that whole engine going and the protection that you get when you are actually with a Kardashian / Jenner. The protection will extend to Travis some just because of the fact that he has a child with Kylie. But it doesn't extend to the fact where this story might have been tried to have been killed before about him being, you know, in his early 20s and sleeping with a 15-year-old. You know, it would have protected before the long, long, long time girlfriend that he had for, what, several years before he met Kylie, all the way through still today. And, you know, there's this huge publicity machine over the Kardashian Jenners. And I think I'm going to talk a little bit about it on the radio program tomorrow. So if you tune in early in the morning, if you're up early, you can listen to that online. But for sure, I'm going to talk about Kylie and Drake and all of that stuff. So anyway, it's just amazing how it works because so many people just don't want to tick off the Kardashians. I don't really get it. They don't sell a ton of magazines. If you look at the magazines, they're not really a popular subject. You know, it's other people that are popular to sell the magazines, but I guess it's clickbait. Perhaps that's what it is. Or maybe the other tabloids feel as if they don't report on it, then, hey, somebody else will, and then we'll look bad. I don't know. I have no problems with my Kardashian-free Februarys. None at all. Don't miss them. Don't need to talk about them. It's just, it's glorious. And I wish the rest of the media would follow suit. This former one-season wonder, turned repeat performer, turned network reality star, says that she's hustling to line up her next gig, but has not found any producer who doesn't want her to hit the casting couch. Looks like Me Too really changed things. I'm talking about Hannah Brown, and I think that, you know, as I've said before, if I have to pick some people to come out of Bachelor fame, Bachelorette fame, I like Hannah, I like Rachel, and who else do I like? You know, Chad at least gives you the honest truth. Who else? Not very many more. But I like Hannah. And I think that she is speaking eloquently about things, her time on Dancing with the Stars, and not trying to sugarcoat it, and just kind of saying, hey, I'm trying my hardest here. You know, I'm not a professional dancer, and I am busting my butt 20 or 30 hours a week in rehearsals to go out in front of a live studio national audience and be judged on something that I've only been practicing for a week. And I think that she's right to talk about how she's feeling on. And I hope that she gets some kind of work. It's really tough, though, for the ex-Bachelor, Bachelorette stuff. You know, especially if they want to try and get out of the whole cycle and not be on Bachelor in Paradise or anything like that. So we'll see what she can do. I wish her the best. Number four on the 18th. Okay, this is an abnormally large number of comments. Oh, of course. The PR team of the illiterate former actress turned royal have doubled their previous budget, and you can tell. Their goal is to have 3 stories per day in the 10 biggest English-speaking tabloids. They're definitely meeting their targets. Goodness, the knee padding is over the top. Now, you've already heard me talk about this, but the people who just read the site, you know, it's just a blind, and it's, you know, Meghan Markle, and they don't have the People magazine. I have not. Should I do that right now? Let me see if I can even find. Let me get People. Let's see if it's still going on. And the thing is, it's a little bit different with the coverage because of the whole Remembrance Day thing. Kate's getting some coverage in there, too. But let me pull it up. I'm pulling up as we speak. Let's see. Are we going to count all royal stories? Oh, so far, nothing. 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 And I wonder if it's because of the Remembrance Day thing. They're just, let's see how it works out for everybody. I do not see anything. I'm halfway down the page. There was a bunch of stuff earlier, but nothing. Oh, there's a James Middleton photo. Oh, here we go. Here we go. So we had James Middleton. We have Meghan Markle. We have Kate Middleton. So that's 3. And I'm waiting for Sunday, waiting to see where Prince Andrew stands. I think everybody's kind of, I don't need to watch it. I just show me a picture, see where he's standing. So it looks like just the 3, and it's, you know, fairly well divided between the Middletons and the Markles. Yeah, I don't see any others. I really thought there was like 5 or 6 earlier. Nope, just those 3. I'm not going to keep scrolling down because it goes on and on forever. Let's see. Let's move on to something else. Number 4. Oh, that was number 4. Number 5. The disgraced actor, who had death following in his wake, is spending a lot of time in a country where the age of consent is just 14. I'm talking about Kevin Spacey and him in Serbia. He has no reason to be in Serbia. You know, I think he's quote-unquote, working with some kind of theater. He's in a country where the age of consent is 14. This was at the beginning of the month. And nobody talks about it. It drives me crazy. It really does. Somebody needs to ask him, oh, so why are you in Serbia? Oh, well, there's this theater group and I thought I could help mentor the young boys. But nobody does. Nobody, it just, he has no reason to be there. None. And it's just, nobody talks about it. It's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. Oh, we already did the Kevin Spacey thing before, so, you know, whatever he's doing now is something completely different. We just don't care anymore. But I'll tell you this, and it's, you guys listening? And I even see on the page views on that one, there are people talking about it, at least, and they're sharing it because it has an abnormally large number of page views. So this shows me that people are sharing it and people are talking about it, but they're just not talking about it in a big enough way. It needs to, you know, to keep being front and center. The only thing that we see Kevin Spacey articles lately is, oh, another case dropped. Or I saw one the other day where, you know, it looks like, you know, he might be working again. That East Coast married housewife might want someone rich, but she's going to keep on keeping on with that boy toy of hers for the foreseeable future. And I'm talking about Teresa Giudice. Or as Andy likes to say, Giudice. Giudice. And that's just the way it is. This whole thing, it's remarkable to me. And whether or not you watch Housewives or whatever, but think about this. Even if you don't watch Housewives and you're listening, imagine it was any actress or celebrity, and you had proof that their spouse had cheated. You had proof on camera that their spouse cheated. You had multiple photographs in multiple different situations of their spouse cheating. You had multiple people that he had cheated with talking about it. And the entire time all of this was going on, you denied it and denied it and denied it and denied it. Okay? Then fast forward a few years later, and you need a reason for that divorce. And you need a reason to get people to watch this special. And so you say, yeah, you know, I'm going to divorce him or whatever. Things are tough because, you know, he cheated on me. Really? You pretty much denied that stuff for 5 years, 6 years? Maybe longer than that? I hate that. I don't like that at all. And this whole thing is just a setup. This whole interview, the whole let's fly to Italy, let's have the kids there, and, you know, it's you know what they used to do on a very special, you know, on NBC would do that. A very special Friends. Just to get people to watch. And what is going to determine whether or not they get divorced is how popular the special is. So if it looks like, oh, you know, maybe we need to stay together or something. Oh, let's do a season in Italy. Let's film something over a course of a week or 10 days with the kids when they're on spring break or something. And let's film that. A good 6 episodes. And we can run that during the summer. That's what's going to determine. If nobody watches it and they don't need to stay together or pretend that they're trying to work it out or something, then it's divorce. Simple as that. But you shouldn't base, you know, these marital decisions on whether or not you're going to get another season picked up. And I think people are kind of getting tired of it. And it's just because what it is it's just being manipulated. People are just manipulating you for whatever. And I guess it's fine if you know about it. But why can't there just be something that's, you know, more honest about it, I guess? Which is why I kind of like the competitive ones better than these kind of setup things. It's not that I don't watch Housewives, but I'm not invested in it like I used to be. I mean, I like New Jersey. I like Dallas. But I feel, well, there's a lot of fakery in Potomac, but Potomac is the best. I mean, by far. And I would say Potomac and then Dallas probably are the top two. Number two from the 19th. The celebrity CEO recently had to call security to get him out of the handcuffs. His girlfriend put him in before she got mad at him and left. Now, this was not a situation where apparently he was tied to the bed or something like that. He just had the handcuffs on and couldn't get them off. You know, I'm going to do, I think, an Elon Musk episode really soon. And because there's just so much to talk about. I feel as if I need to go through all the blinds just kind of together in some kind of coherent story rather than just, you know, one here, one there, just kind of string them all together and then kind of talk about how we've moved from, you know, a marriage then to Amber Heard or then his mom, you know, him using his mom's Twitter account and stuff like that. And then what connections does he really have to the cartels? You know, is he involved in smuggling or was it just his employees that were involved in smuggling? You know, why after meeting with El Chapo's wife did a boat, which is really expensive to run, come back 150 miles to a drug smuggling country? You know, it's these kind of things, but just to kind of lay them all out. And they're not all about, you know, business. I think that a lot of business people listen to them and stuff. But this is one of the rare opportunities where, you know, I have information about some kind of CEO. And it's only because of the fact that he tends to date celebrities. And then that kind of stuff happens. And then, you know, El Chapo's wife, everybody thinks El Chapo's wife is some, you know, Mexican national or something. She was born in California. You know, so she's got a lot of friends, a lot of American friends. And a lot of American friends who talk. I think she married him when she was 18 or 17, something like that. So, anyway, it's that's another, you know, strange kind of connection. And have somebody that occasionally will talk about that. But again, because she's from California, and it just, I don't think she ever really enjoyed being the drug dealer's wife. I think she likes the status, maybe, but she didn't actually like the marriage part. Let's see. Number three on the 19th. I mean, nothing's happened to her. She's just living large. The culturally appropriating lover of child molesters, who also happens to be an A/A- list, mostly movie actress, had some work done to her face. It was the first time. Judging by the work, it looks like she used Demi Moore's doctor. I'm sure she'll tell the world she hasn't done anything, but she has. I'm talking about Scarlett Johansson. And I think that Demi's doctor is the best. If you can get in there, you know you're going to look spectacular. You're going to look like you haven't aged, at least on the face area. You know, if you run into Demi, you can, if you look at her hands, I mean, they still look good, but you know, it's a face business, not a hand business, right? Let's see, number four on the 19th. The actions this week kind of go to the point that the former A-plus list rapper and the A-list reality star are in a marriage of convenience. And, you know, I think that you can see this with Kanye and Kim, and there's going to be this, I don't know, kind of breaking point. Because, you know, if Kanye continues to say all these things, and there was an article today in Us Magazine or something about, oh, Kim's going to start to dress more modest. Well, you know what that, let me say. Kanye dresses Kim a lot of times in some wild and crazy outfits, but this was a story of happenstance. Kim wore something that was more conservative, and then the article was written to say, oh, she's going to start, you know, wearing what Kanye more conservatively because of, you know, his newfound beliefs about sexuality and being sexual and showing skin. So they write the article. But what happens next week when she has a half-naked Instagram post? Are people going to call out Us Magazine for it? No. Because they're going to forget. You know, but that's the kind of thing that you need to... It's gossip of circumstance. Oh, look. She's dressing all conservatively. Must be because of what Kanye. You know? So just kind of look out for those kind of things. It's just all about, as I said, with the reality, it's all about manipulation and getting you to think what they want you to think, rather than thinking for yourself and being independent and finding out your own facts. You know, and be careful about your facts, too. You know, I don't know if I told you guys, because I was talking to somebody else about it, and... It was trying to prove that somebody was a molester or something because they were on Jeffrey Epstein's airplane. And they had a part of the flight log, right? And they had this photo of it. But the thing is, it wasn't real. It was completely fake. And I think I have told you. So go find the book. Go look for yourself. You know, it's out there. Don't just automatically assume what somebody tells you is true. You know, and that, hey, yeah, you know, there's rumors about them and the child molesters. Oh, look, here's a page from Jeffrey Epstein's airplane logs. They were on the plane. Well, they weren't. You know, and it's that kind of thing then that sets everything else back. Number five. The A-list singer, solo and in a group, who really is not that great of a singer, but is good on reality television, knows she was the fourth person asked to accept an award she's about to receive. Right? The other three turned it down. And I'm talking about Gwen Stefani, this fashion icon award from People's Choice Awards. And she was the fourth person asked. She was the only one who said, yeah, I'll come by. And, you know, nobody really has to know that there were three other people asked. She's going to get this award. It'll be on TV. 10 people will watch. People's Choice Awards are just... Are they the biggest waste of space award show? Yeah, pretty much. I can't think of one that... I think everything else... I mean, even if they're rigged, there's some kind of value to them. You know, the MTV Music Awards, I mean, people play music and stuff, and there's some kind of show. The People's Choice Awards just is... It's just people that said, yeah, I would love an award, and, you know, I'm going to put up this People's Choice Award on my mantle. And those that award show is just, who is willing to come? We will give you an award. We will make sure that you did not come here for no reason. Let's see. Let's do the 20th. I think. Oh, no, there's still one more on the 19th. By the way, that Gwen Stefani one was really popular. More so than one would think, because, you know, it's the People's Choice Awards. Maybe they're arguing whether or not Gwen Stefani is a good singer. You know, she's... If you've seen her live before, you know, not the residency where everything was lip sync, but if you've ever seen her live, she was a great dancer and everything, but she just, her voice isn't super strong. And I think she's a great performer. She's just not all that great of a singer. The wife of this foreign-born A-list dual-threat actor is trying to get financing for a new movie. She hopes to write, slash direct, slash produce herself, using the actor's name and claiming he will star in it. At this point, she doesn't have a script and no pitch. She tells different stories to different people with money. I'm talking about Sophie Hunter and Benedict Cumberbatch. Now, the line about where she tells different stories to different people with money, I wrote that, and I think I don't really blame her for that part, that one line, because of the fact that if you want to get a movie made, you will adjust it to the person that you're pitching it to. And, you know, you might have gone from a romantic comedy and this next person, they don't like romantic comedies, but they like dramedies. And so you might change it or whatever, because you're just trying to get it made. And even if it's something that's a passion project of yours that is already written, that is, you will kind of hedge and hem and haw and make it sound like it's more of what they want to get it made. The problem that I have with this is that she doesn't even have a script, and her pitch isn't even that great, because she just wants to pitch to just to get the money. And then she'll worry about the script and making it. And, you know, to attach her husband is kind of a big deal, because obviously he's a big, big star. So everybody's like, well, she is married to him, so can she get him into the movie? You know, and what if he says, I'm not doing that movie? Or she picks some horrible script he wants no part of. You know, is she going to give all the money back? Probably not. She's just going to make her movie with whoever, and it'll probably be an awful movie, but then she will be able to say that she's a writer, a director, a producer of a movie. All right, the 20th. Which is super popular, this first one. No, I see why. And it's not Meghan Markle. I'll give you a guess. Yes, it? No. Okay. There was such a lack of interest by Paps here in LA for the wife of this permanent A-list host that she had her PR person call and make sure there were more for the next time the couple went out. And I'm talking about Beth Stern and Howard Stern. And, you know, I think that, you know, it just wasn't the crowd. And so the PR person said, hey, this is where they're going to be. Hey, why don't you go out there and take some pictures? And then you get this swarm. And then people are, oh, Beth, over here, over here, over here. And that doesn't happen as much in New York. So I think that she wanted that whole LA experience, because, you know, they're rarely out here. So they wanted that. She wanted that swarming kind of, you know, flashball, or, you know, video cameras, that light and the glare and everything like that. You know, whatever, you know, float your boat. Let's see. Number 2 on the 20th. All people could talk about at the party for the new season of a trash cable reality show was that the former A-minus list tween singer was on death's doorstep. Now, this is about Aaron Carter and Marriage Boot Camp, and this was, I wrote this on October 11th, so we're talking 27 days ago, and then revealed it on the 20th. And he looked rough. Maybe you don't know. But if you see somebody on television who looks really, really skinny, I'm not picking on anybody here, but let's say Sarah Hyland, because just her name pops in my head. She's very thin on TV, okay? So when you see somebody who's very thin on TV, you know, they're not lying about the 15 pounds, okay? When you see her in person, it's almost scary thin. And that's what was going on with Aaron. I mean, just really bad. If you look in a photograph of somebody and want to see if they're skinny, look at their legs. That's the best kind of guide I can give you. And you can just, you can tell how skinny somebody is by looking at their legs, not their thighs, but down, knee down. And you can generally see how thin somebody is. Angelina Jolie, another good example. She might look bigger because she's got a larger face and she plumps out her lips and she wears her hair big, right? So it's kind of, and then to cover her arms, then she wears something loose and flowing, so you can't really get a good look. But a lot of times you can get a look at her legs. And I mean, just scary, scary thin. And that's what Aaron Carter was, just, he looked drawn. He just, everybody thought, oh my gosh, you know, how's this guy even alive? And that's kind of what it was like that day. Number three on the 20th. Oh, another popular one. Let's see. The former immediate boss of the rapist news anchor keeps ditching reporters, even though he has a zillion reporters at work for him now. He knows there's no answers that will not make him look even worse than it seems. And I'm talking about Jeff Zucker and Matt Lauer. And this seems to be the kind of thing right now. This is what I will say. NBC, the news organization, allowed its reporters somewhat to talk about the fact about the whole Ronan being blacklisted from NBC. And, you know, that having the story killed. Okay? So kudos to them for at least making that attempt. Unlike ABC, which is not going to do anything or talk about or have the reporters not allowed to report on why ABC killed the Virginia Roberts story about Jeffrey Epstein. Okay? All ABC would say is, oh, we're going to have our own two-part Jeffrey Epstein series later this year and also a 3 or 4 episode podcast. Okay, so you're just promoting something, and it's going to be the same kind of thing because you still said you can't, the reporting isn't good. So the news divisions should be able to report on stuff. And when they don't, when they don't report or check on their own, you know, police their own, then what you have is you just have, you know, this kind of like a propaganda thing. I don't want to even use the word propaganda, but just only news that they see fit to tell you, you know, rather than everything that's going on. And to keep their own reporters from reporting on a news story because it makes them look bad. Unlike NBC, which, you know, it took a while. And, you know, they still, the official position of the network is they contradict a lot of what Ronan has to say. But the reporters were allowed to report that this was, that NBC was contradicting, you know, and everybody was fighting. But they were allowed to report on it. And Jeff Zucker, CNN, he's not talking to it. He's got a million reporters there at CNN, but nobody's allowed to talk to him about Matt Lauer. So then it just becomes a non-story. And he gets away with it. Number four on the 20th, right? Hope so. Otherwise, I'll just read it again. Oh, okay. I haven't had her on in a couple of weeks, so that's okay. The PR team of the foreign-born actress came up with the nickname 2 hours before her interview on the talk show. And this is Priyanka Chopra. And, okay. She calls herself and Sophie the J sisters. They came up with that. She came up with it, or her people, a couple hours before this interview where she mentioned it. And of course, she mentions Sophie and herself, right? Not Danielle. So Danielle's excluded from this group? probably in Priyanka's eyes, because Danielle is not famous and can't do anything for her career like Sophie possibly could. So it's Sophie and Priyanka who are chummy, and the J sisters. It's just lame. I mean, that's just an overreach. When it's just so bizarre like that, you say to yourself, oh, you should have just stayed quiet on that one. I know somebody thought it was a good idea and you're paying them a couple $1,000 a month, but, you know, not a good one. Number 5 on the 20th. I'm excited about looking at number 6, because number 6 is... Oh, well, I talked about this to you guys the other day, but I'll read it again. As I told you what happened from the second that A-plus list actress was put on the witness list, the case settled. Now, the question remains whether the A-plus lister wrote the check to make it all go away. And you guys have heard me talk about it. But Reese Witherspoon, Ryan Felipe, you know, the physically abusing the beating girlfriend trial. And the day that came out. And this was not gossip or a lead or a tip. This is just me being a lawyer and seeing her name on there and knowing no way is she going to testify. No way is she going to get up on a witness stand. And remember, this is California. You can have televised trials. No way on earth was that going to happen. And that's just the way it is. It's not a lead. It's not a tip. It's just, that is the way it was going to be. And sometimes you just, you know, you have to think about those kind of things. And depositions, and, you know, I'll talk about Johnny Depp and all that kind of stuff. And why he should do this and why he should not do that. And a witness stand like that, where she hasn't been deposed, so it's just going to be questions that she has no idea where they're coming from. She doesn't know what they're going to be. Now, unlike a deposition, in a trial, the questions have to be kind of on point. We're mostly on point. So there wouldn't be just, you know, in a deposition, technically, they could ask, how often did you have sex with Ryan when you were married? And chances are good that she'd have to answer the question. And then they would say something like, was he ever violent during sex? You know, it's not really going to happen up on a witness stand during a trial, because they're going to say relevance. But there is an objection for relevance in a deposition, but chances are good that, you know, she's going to have to answer it, at least in the deposition. So on a witness stand, first time being up there, not knowing where they're going to go with the questions, no. And to be on TV, no. It was never going to happen. Let's see. And I feel the same way about the whole Alan Dershowitz, which is why I called the Les Wexner. It's the same type of situation. If you're not into celebrity and you want to put it in that kind of situation, it's the same. It is just Alan Dershowitz knows that Les Wexner does not want to be on that stand, does not want to give a deposition, does not want to be involved. And he's rolling the dice that Les is just going to write a big check. And then it's up to Virginia to decide whether or not she wants that check, or she wants to have her day in court. It's a tough decision. Because we kind of went through this, and I think people forget. Was it last December, a year ago, November, December? Remember, there was going to be a trial of some of Jeffrey Epstein's victims, a civil trial, where we were going to get a lot of information. And what happened? They all settled. They all took the checks. And then there was no trial. Epstein didn't have to get up there. The witnesses never said anything. They never could bring up other names, because it was settled before it got started. And I think everybody was a little bit crushed when that happened. And I think it gets lost in the shuffle that we almost had that trial. And that was the big news back in, you know, November, December of last year. And then it kind of went away until he got, you know, arrested. Let's see. Number 6, I think, on the 20th? Yeah. Okay. So let's see why it's so popular. Oh, good. I always love when this A-/B+ list actress from an acting family is asked about two of her former co-stars. She never knows what to say and always looks flummoxed. Look, both sides hate each other. Simple as that. The two co-stars have a very good reason for their hate. And I'm talking about Candace Cameron Bure and the Olsen twins. They don't like each other. They haven't liked each other in years and years and years. Maybe, I don't know, it's decades, but let's just go years and years and years. And it's one of those situations where there's kind of two sides. You know, John Stamos is on the Candace Cameron Bure side. Not a big fan of the Olsen twins. But then you have Bob Saget, who somehow is able to play the middle. The Olsen twins love him. And he's perfectly welcomed and accepted and loved on the other side. So he manages to kind of bridge that gap. I would say that Lori Loughlin is over on the Candace Cameron side. And the Olsen twins, they don't really care if Candace likes them or not. But it's interesting when Candace is asked about them, because she doesn't, I feel as if she's too polite to say anything negative and doesn't want to give an answer where there could be a follow-up. And nobody interviews the Olsen twins, you know, but if they did, they would answer, I think. And I've talked about it before, you know, why they don't like each other. And it was really evident when they did the reboot. And the Olsen twins were like, hell no, we're not going to do that, because we don't want to be involved with Candace, and we don't want to be involved with John Stamos, who's the one who put it together. And John Stamos is a little bit more direct, and, you know, and he admits that he's, you know, that they're estranged, I think, is how he would put it. It's a permanent estrangement. All right, let's go to the 21st. Number one. But I'm glad that was popular. This is almost kind of like a plug, in a way, because this person is going to be the subject of a deep dive. Maybe tomorrow or Saturday, not sure which, because I still have some Southern charm, and I'm trying to alternate and everything, but this person, this weekend at some point. I don't know why this A-minus list actor slash singer is whining now about losing out on a role he once had. If he hadn't been such a tool to everyone when he played the role, he would have had got the movie. If he hadn't made his female co-star cry every day, he probably would have got to play the character again. If he hadn't been the biggest, spoiled, entitled, miserable a-hole when he played the role, he would have had another chance. But yeah, complain and went to someone else this time like you're a victim. Go take some more photos with your slime photographer buddy. I'm talking about Jared Leto and the Joker and Terry Richardson. And then all that kind of became public knowledge that weekend that I wrote it. I wrote it October 12th and then became public knowledge about the 19th or the 20th about how all the stuff that he'd done to Warner Brothers and made all that kind of thing. And so that's why I revealed it. But so I'm going to do a Jared Leto deep dive. And you might hear this blind again. I'll try and remember that you guys just heard it. But at the same point, some people might sign up just to hear about Jared Leto. So you might have to hear it again. But it's one of my favorite blind items from the month. I love when I can write a blind item that all of you know, but I can just kind of take it back to when I used to write articles, because this is exactly how I would have written an article, but I would have used his name. But instead now, I just do it exactly like this, because it's just so entitled, beyond, and it's going to be a super good deep dive, a really, really good one. Let's see, and I think it's about time. So let's do number two on the 21st. I really like this recap. There's a lot of good ones. And there's only been one Meghan Markle, one Priyanka. I mean, there might be another one here in the next three, but you never know. It's nice that in every interview about their quote-unquote relationship, both the foreign-born hasn't been heard from in a decade singer and his A-minus list singer slash quote-unquote girlfriend always managed to work in a plug for both of their music every single time. But yeah, it's love. I'm talking about Cody Simpson and Miley Cyrus, and it is so not love. And it's just another over-the-top kind of thing, and I'm just done. I'm done with all these. Here, okay, I'll tell you this. I am sympathetic to relationships which are fake if it's a bearding situation, because I think it's up to the person to decide whether or not they want to come out, okay? And if they want to be seen around town with man, woman, whatever, that's fine. I'm going to call it a fake relationship. But unless you go over the top crazy with it and make it something that it's obviously not, you know, okay, I'll deal with it. And it's fine, you know, because you get to decide. And if you feel your career, you can't come out, that's up to you. But when it's just for just sheer publicity in the sense of let's plug each other's things, let's take photographs where we know that we're going to get attention, let's, you know, do things where, you know, I'm half naked and you're doing this to me and, you know, we'll get a headline here and it's just, why? You know, are you that desperate for attention? Maybe if you're Cody. Let's see. Number three. On the 21st. It got really ugly backstage at this New York Fashion Week event last night, as the one named A-list singer got into a scuffle with her cocaine-loving, serial-cheating rapping ex. And it was Halsey and G-Eazy, and this was, I actually wrote that back in September, September 11th. And, yeah, it was not pretty. I mean, there weren't any fisticuffs or anything. I'm not sure who decided that they should both be there and both be backstage. That seems like a really bad decision of somebody who maybe didn't know that they had split, even though it's been a while. But that happens. You know, people don't keep up with, oh, or they, you know, they think that they're still dating or whatever, and it's fine to have them both there, and people aren't up to date. And in a situation like that, people don't know what the other guest list and all that. This is also from September 11th, even though they revealed it the 21st. Apparently, several news outlets were promised interviews with the permanent A-list singer. In exchange for positive coverage of a family member and reprinting their reasons for leaving a situation without speculating about any of the reasons. They were also supposed to ignore the part where the family member still controls the money. And I'm talking about Britney Spears and Jamie Spears. And the tabloids were allowed to... So Jamie had his reason for, you know, leaving the conservatorship. And remember, all the tabloid articles said that he was stepping down from the conservatorship. And if you look at somebody like a People or Us, the ones that really kiss butt, you know, it's because of his health and things like that. Nothing else was mentioned, especially in People. Nothing was mentioned about the child abuse, which I guess no charges filed or whatever, but that kind of thing. And so if you didn't mention that, then, hey, maybe I'll do an interview with you. I'll give you a leak. Maybe you can sit down with Britney. Okay? Now, they all, to a T, said that he was stepping down from the conservatorship, like he was completely separating himself from it. But as you've heard here before, and what is the actual truth, is that Jamie was no longer the conservator of the person. And remember, once again, the person is the health decisions, who they can date, if they're allowed to vote, those kind of things, okay? And then there's the conservatorship of the estate. And in the conservatorship, that's all the money. Who controls the money? I control all the money. You know, I give you an allowance. I decide what you can spend it on. I'm the one who does all that. And Jamie didn't give that up. But in the tabloid articles, it just says he's stepping down from the conservatorship. Now, whether the tabloid articles don't know that it's divided, or they just wanted to make it appear as if he was just doing this noble thing. But the fact is, yeah, he gave up the conservatorship of the person, but not the money. Let's see. Number five. And I can't wait until we go to court again on that. Let's see. It's not just lean use now. With the prolific A-minus list rapper / baby maker, the drugs are getting worse, and it wouldn't shock me if he is dead by the end of the year. I wrote that in September, and I'll stick with that. I mean, it's November 7th. It's about Lil Wayne. I could see it. It could happen anytime. It just... I mean, how many Caesars can a body take, right? And then if you're mixing some other stuff with it, rather than just the lean... You never know. Now he does have a new love that I guess he's going to get married to. Maybe, you know, she can keep him healthy for the rest of the year. I hope so. All right, you guys, that'll do it. And I will see you back here tomorrow.